With the price of Bitcoin decisively above 5,000, astute investors are refocusing on the broader cryptocurrency sector. To help navigate this shifting tide, we have with us Frank Holmes, who is the CEO and Chief Investment Officer of US Global Investors and interim CEO and Chairman of Hive Blockchain Technologies. Mr. Holmes has several decades of experience in the capital markets, and he has offered timely, accurate advice into an otherwise wild and unpredictable market. With growing adoption among retail investors, Mr. Holmes discusses the potential of another round of crypto exuberance. Thanks to generally deflated prices, now is an ideal time to consider Hive Blockchain Technologies, which currently trades at a 94% correlation with Bitcoin. To learn more about this opportunity, please go to crushthestreet.com/Bitcoin. Primarily, Hive Blockchain offers viable exposure to Bitcoin without having to open a wallet. It's a quick read, which you can find at crushthestreet.com/Bitcoin. So with that, here's Frank Holmes.
Hello, everyone, and welcome into crushthestreet.com. I'm Kenneth Amaduri. I'm joined today with a returning guest, someone who's an authority in the crypto space, somebody who has been on the show a number of times and, you know, really schooled us on Metcalfe's law as it pertained to the adoption of Bitcoin and what has been going on in the crypto space. And he's been on at very strategic times early on in 2017, prior to the move in crypto, and has updated us ever since. And here we are with Bitcoin 5,000. I think it says a lot about where we are in general, that Bitcoin and crypto is resilient and it's not dead. So with us today is Frank Holmes. He's the CEO and Chief Investment Officer at US Global Investors. He's also the interim CEO and chairman of Hive Blockchain Technologies, which has some very interesting developments that we're going to address today. Some press releases, some issues with Genesis Mining, the largest cloud mining crypto company in the world, their largest shareholder, and Frank's going to address this head on today. But without any further ado, Frank, thanks for coming on Crush the Street with me today.
Good. I hope we crush this interview.
Let's do it. Well, let's start off with where we are with Bitcoin. As I said, last time we talked about Metcalfe's law and everything in motion. Many people have left Bitcoin for dead in 2018 in the brutality of the bear market. But I think $5,000 Bitcoin is saying a lot, saying that Bitcoin is alive, crypto is alive and well, and letting people know that. And I think we're starting to feel that here. What do you have to say about Bitcoin's resilience and where things are headed from here on out?
Well, I think there's a couple of real positive things. The peak in Bitcoin took place with the Chicago coming up with a futures market on Bitcoin so it could be suppressed. That's really phenomenal what took place. And the bottom took place when the loudest spokesperson, the biggest bank, JP Morgan, Jimmy Dimon, was trash talking Bitcoin all the way down, and that stopped. And the top took place with the futures market. Now they want to unwind that, stop it. And now we have him come up with this coin. In mid-February, Jimmy Dimon announced the JP Morgan crypto coin, a stable coin backed by dollars. So that was basically the bottom in Bitcoin prices. Now, what's interesting in my 40 years of experience in the capital markets, been through 10 major corrections in the stock market and asset classes, is that when they are a debt crisis, when it's like 97 in Thailand and Korea, et cetera, or you have a 98 Russia defaulted on their sovereign debt, when you have 2008 debt crisis, it takes about 4 years to resolve these issues. So the 97, bottom 2001, and 98, bottom 2002, and that started the big bull market in commodities. So now we have the big crash of 2008 in real estate, and it took about 4 years before the reconstruction and the bottom, and then we start seeing lumber prices, housing prices, everything start rising from that level. When it's a non-debt bear market, like crypto, it's predominantly a cash economy, it's much faster. It's 18 months. You don't have to go through bankruptcy courts and proceedings, etc. So we've had this incredible bull. I've never in my 40 years seen a bull market of these dimensions and a bear market. Remember, we first talked about Hive in our first interview. Ethereum was 300 before it went to 1,500. And Bitcoin was 3,000 before it went to over 15,000. So we've had this full cycle. We're slowly climbing out of this bear market. And during this process, Metcalfe's Law was continuing. Why? Because we had the prices falling faster, but we had the adoption rising. It's called wallets, new wallets. People turning around and coming in, buying on the dips. So you have a much bigger platform that as the prices start to rise, they can surge much more quickly than even previously. And during this period, we had some real positive news of regulators coming in and cleaning up Dodge, basically. A lot of these new coins that were coming out were just basically scams to try to make money for a small group of people. And that's gone. And, you know, that basically took $5 billion away from junior mining and technology that went into the crypto space for all those new coins. Well, that's history. And anyone trying to launch a new ICO security gets shut down if they don't comply with the SEC or other states. So that's very positive. And Fidelity launches their exchange. You're seeing much more money going into building ways to facilitate the trading of this. So I think it's very positive in this transition period.
Frank, let's talk about that just a little bit more here. You mentioned the suppression of the Bitcoin crypto prices with the exchanges here, the futures trading exchanges. I'd like to ask you then, I mean, gold has seemingly been terminal with the manipulation that we're seeing in that market, but do you think that there's going to be that same sort of fight that we have with Bitcoin as we are seeing with gold? With the trading platforms that they have to be able to suppress the price?
Well, it's different. You know, the other big suppression has been the Bank of International Settlements, the BIS. And the head of the BIS, the BIS is the central bank for 60 central banks. And they love paper money. They always make money. And they're anti-gold. They're in many ways is the negative data talks about them. At the same time, they are very, very negative about crypto. They have been pushing all those central banks to go and use their SEC's equivalent in all those countries and the audit boards to go after this industry. And so even with all that pressure that's taking place, JP Morgan comes up with their own coin. So there is something happening, and you're in this sort of transition period that I think I remain very positive about as we go forward. But it's going to be a different cycle, and you're going to see more uses for Ethereum. You see more, even Samsung is coming out with their own coin. Facebook, the talk of them coming out with their own coin. You can imagine they have 2 billion users around the world, and all of a sudden you can use the Facebook coin, the digital coin, to go buy products at Amazon. I mean, that's how this stuff can go through this transition.
All right, Frank, let's talk about Hive blockchain technologies. There's this massive correlation between the price of crypto and Hive, but there has been an issue raised, a really dumb move, if you ask me, with Genesis, the largest shareholder of Hive, wanting to completely uproot, swap out, and put in their own board members, handpicked, and the stock is down 40% while Bitcoin is up over 5,000, Hive's back at its level when Bitcoin was in the $3,000 range. What is going on here? Let's give us some deeper insight and, you know, what can investors expect going forward?
Well, I think that things in a positive way will get resolved over the next several weeks because I think the decision of what took place was it was unprecedented. They dropped 40% in 2 days. And it's really tragic because there is no doubt Hive is the proxy for so many investors that want to play crypto, but they don't want to open a wallet. They don't want to go to Bifinex or one of these exchanges to find out a crisis has taken place, or they don't want to go to Coinbase with all the processes. They want to trade the stock through us. And that's what's really taken place, that we trade this 94% correlation. And I think their decision was because we've had disputes on transparency. GMP, which raised all of our money, the $200 million, which we then entrusted them with, has been complaining that there's lack of transparency by Genesis on their MSA agreement. They did it last year when I became the interim CEO, and then in mid-February, they came with another report. And when you look at the other blockchain mining companies, there's much more transparency. And I've been asking them, I've been begging them, we need transparency. And we have to be able to make informed decisions. So right now we're in the move to take over Sweden ourselves, to get another contractor that'll work with us, give us our daily pricing. Everything we need for transparency is in this new agreement. So I feel positive about that, and we would be making money today. So that's what we've got to quickly get resolved. It's also better for their share position to go back up. Two is that there's new accounting standards in Canada, and they call it SOC 2. That is, if we're using them for the cloud and they're mining the Bitcoin, and think of the blockchain as an open architecture, so there's transparency, we should be able to get our 100 coins. Why do we only get 92? Well, they say, well, it's because the system wasn't efficient. But we've got to be able to see that for the auditors, that the CARE, the SOC 2 says there has to be an audit trail. There has to be, rather than someone just make up a number, there has to be an explicit audit trail to justify that number. So they're the things I've been pushing for going forward. I believe we'll get them resolved. It's in the best interest for all parties. And also, I'd like to be able to get some technically competent people that know mining, that are database experts on our board, not just Genesis people. We need some of that other independents that can turn around and make sure that's what we're doing. So what they've done, I think, is the error and why the market fell so quickly is because it's a real breach of corporate governance, of transparency, which is a key factor, and fiduciary obligations, which is duty of care, that you can't, you got to have manage these conflicts. When someone owns 26%, there's automatically an embedded conflict, a potential conflict. A board of directors is to make sure to assure that there's no hanky-panky of special benefits for the largest shareholder. And that's what I'm holding strong towards. And I'm not afraid of that battle because I just believe in corporate governance. In fact, I wanted to retire from this whole exercise and I'm working for nothing. I'm not taking a salary to try to go through this transition of a bear market, hired a great new CFO. We only have two employees. We're a very lean operation for a public company. And we outsource that. Who we outsource to, we have to get greater transparency to be able to be competitive against other companies when we turn around the show. And some large shareholders have said to us, well, why don't you buy these other companies up? Well, when we approach other people over time, they always come back to your MSA agreement, we just won't deal with. It has to go. It's just not, it's not transparent for us, and we think you're being overcharged. So I don't want to get in this debate that we've been overcharged, et cetera. I want to turn around and I give them that $50 million because that was part of the MSA agreement. It said, if you try to triple the price, then you're in breach of the agreement. And therefore, I have within the 12-month period to say, give us our money back. Well, that turned around and really got them upset. And that's what the catalyst to say, well, you've got to go, Frank Holmes. And then it was get rid of any directors that agreed that we had to have independence. So I don't think it looks good in their best interest. And I think it'll probably be just they're young people. They're young people that in dealing in the capital markets have been very successful in the private markets. And it's an expensive learning curve for them. But I think going forward, we'll be bigger, stronger, and a greater company.
So do you see a path forward with Genesis and working together and bridging this gap of confusion and discord?
Yes, I do. I mean, I remain positive from it because their decision, it wasn't my decision. I begged for them not to go with that decision. And that decision cost them 40% decline in their wealth. I mean, that the person that made that or people that made that decision, you know, if that was an employee, usually they fire an employee for such a loss for that decision. So they have to live with that. And hopefully they are really understand that that they've lost a lot of wealth over it. But I think it's repairable because we still are the go-to name.
Right. Well, I mean, and for investors out there, people who are interested in, you know, a buy the dip moment, I mean, this is a company that trades at a, what did you say, 94% correlation to the price of Bitcoin. And I mean, this was, we're looking at prices now of when Bitcoin was $3,000, $3,500. and Bitcoin's over $5,000 at the moment. So you can see just right there the discount to the price that we have right now with Hive blockchain technology. So any thoughts before I change the topic?
Just to compliment that thought process, you know, when I came in the interim CEO, the stock is up was up 300% from its lows, 300%. And it's the best performing, it was the best performing of all the crypto stocks. So I think that so far we've done a great job in managing this bear market. We just have to march forward with the transparency to be competitive and to be compliant with what's expected in the capital markets. And I think that this is the wake-up call. We'll get it figured out, and we'll be able to push on. And then I can retire.
Well, we're there with you, Frank. I'd like to get a little bit of insight on the timeline of, you know, what crypto mining has looked like since maybe right before the bull market, 2017, into the pipe of the bull market, the bear market, and where we are today, and as it pertains to Hive's profitability.
Well, Hive's profitability has improved dramatically with this bounce in the crypto prices. And also, you know, the things in Sweden is you can hedge the electricity, and it wasn't being hedged. And that's what the players did. So the Genesis was not hedging it. And you have to, because they had a drought and electricity prices went up 300%. So your profit margin was being squeezed, especially for them at that time. But now it's back. It's very profitable. So I think that the industry is more profitable. What's also interesting, what they call nodes. When you look around the world, there are 10,000 nodes of people communicating, doing transactions that are significant. They're sort of the ecosystem globally for both Ethereum and Bitcoin. At one time, a year ago, I think Ethereum was up to 16,000. It's come back to they're both equal. So a lot of the weak players are gone. You know, they're out of there. And the other positive part is that the chips that when we first started this program were a couple thousand dollars, and now they've fallen to 200. So you want to have the cash flow, and you want to be able to go buy those chips, because even with Bitcoin down, you still have now juicy profit margin because the cost of that equipment is so much cheaper. So if you've got cheap electricity and you have cash to buy those cheap chips, the S9s, well, guess what? You've got nice, healthy profit margin at this level. But there's not so many people going to jump into it because they've been wiped out. And so I think that for us is to help faster we pivot to be able to get the next upcycle.
So we're looking at a market cap in Bitcoin. What is it? You know, just under $100 billion. If we can use that as a benchmark, how early are we in the Bitcoin space? I mean, are you pretty optimistic that $20,000 is a level that we can see once again? And beyond that, how optimistic are you as to, you know, how high it could go without it really shocking you in terms of exceeding your expectations?
You know, all I know is that $10,000, we make a lot of money. I don't like to, you know, speculate that it's going to go that far up, etc. There'd have to be a real global currency crisis. When you see a crisis, even though Bitcoin fell dramatically, if you're in Venezuela, you're still further ahead. Their currency just got wiped out. And that's what's happened in so many other countries in the world. So where you find it interesting enough, where they put currency controls on and they mismanage their economy with communist types of moves, etc. Bitcoin has been, even an Ethereum in a falling market, has been a much better hedge for them. So I think if you'd have to have a global financial, you know, concern on currencies that would make it rocket to forecasts of 100,000, etc. You'd have to have a crisis with the Chinese yuan or the U.S. dollar, the euro. They're the sort of, and the Japanese yen. Those four big blocks of currencies, if they were to go under a crisis, gold would go to $10,000. And Bitcoin would go to $20,000 or something of that nature. But what you have to remember, though, is that the difference between, and they found this in San Juan, Puerto Rico, is that when there's no electricity, your Bitcoins aren't worth much. You need electricity. But your gold and silver coins, you can, and U.S. dollars, you can at least buy things with. So I think it's really important to have some intangible wealth in addition to this digital wealth.
Frank, we both attended the North American Bitcoin Conference in January of 2018. Bitcoin was about $10,000 at that time, but most people bought their tickets at $20,000 Bitcoin, right? And so you had essentially that conference representing the absolute hype of the market. And one thing I was reminded of is, you know, capital attracts talent. You get some of the smartest people presenting new ideas, new innovations, new thoughts at this conference, pitching idea after idea. How much good happened for the furthering of crypto because of that epic bull market we saw in 2017?
Well, I think the difference that I saw so often in dealing with this space, and I want to compare it to my new experience, is in artificial intelligence. So I'm also the chairman of a company called Goldspot, and they have 9 PhDs and 11 other scientists that take all the data and look for sweet spots for drilling for gold. They're ambitious. And just like a lot of the young crypto talent, they're ambitious, but the difference is ethics. There's just too many people in this crypto space, I have discovered, really lack integrity. They really lack a code of ethics. It's just, you would respect each other. That's been my sort of negative experience. And that conference we attended, I have never been to a conference, an investment conference, where there were so many departments of justice, the FBI, the SEC, they were speaking at it, but so many different agencies that would show up to this event. And so what was that? What was that statement? I don't see that when I go to AI conferences. And I think that that's the big difference. And I really hope that during this catharsis in this past down cycle, that a lot of those bad characters got pushed out of it, they left, and we get more honorable people entering this business.
That's good thoughts right there. Frank, if you would, share some closing thoughts here as we close out this interview. Mention, you know, Hive, maybe your some thoughts on that, and just in the space in general, your ideas going forward here in 2019.
I remain constructively bullish. I'm sharing with people that the new players coming in the space, they're buying virgin coins, pension funds, endowments. So we are getting serious players nibbling away, but they won't go and buy from an exchange some Bitcoins or Ethereum. They want to have they've never been touched and they're pure, and that helps with their AML risks and concerns. The fact that they're even doing that as a diversification of assets is a very positive way. So I think longer term, I think it remains constructive. The other thing I want to share with you about Hive that's interesting, in my journey, I got to meet a guy named Gabe Layton, who created a company called Machine Zone, which does all these e-games, mobile gaming. I was blown away with the numbers of $6 billion in revenue, and they process 500 million instructions per second in 32 languages for kids playing these games all over. And then he's doing smart cities. Our processors in Iceland can process for him 100 million instructions per second. And what does that mean? Well, if you want to use AI and you want to use esports or e-gaming or these parts, you're going to need those type of facilities. They're not ASIC chips, which you use for Bitcoin, but you need them for Ethereum, you need GPU. And so I think there's so many other avenues and growth opportunities for Hive in the build out of AI and the build out of e-gaming and e-sports. So that's where I think that how it morphs and goes. It's not a linear line, but I remain very positive on our facilities, which we have now to get them back up into production.
All right, everyone. Frank Holmes, thanks for coming on Crush the Street with me today. I really appreciate your time and your insights on the crypto space and Hive blockchain. So thank you.
Thank you.